It's just too easy to float along with the crowd. Don't float along with the crowd. Any dead thing, as they often say, can go with the stream. Take something alive to go upstream. Don't just float along. Go against the stream. Be that one for Christ. Be the one that says, if none go with me, I'm still following you, Jesus. I'm still following you. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Father, I come before you, and as we simply cry out today, God, we want to hear from you. There's so much noise we hear all week long from other people, from the news cycle. And yet, God, we want to hear from you today. And so, Father, I pray you move me out of the way so that we just hear from you. Holy Spirit, I pray you will speak in power today. And I pray, God, that we will never be the same again after we leave this place. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, we're looking at just three verses today, 9 through 11. So Romans 8, 9 through 11 with the title, the question is, am I really a Christian? Am I really a Christian? I'm not sure if there's another question we could ask ourselves that is more probing, that is more revealing, that is more important than the simple question of, am I really a Christian? Our culture has dumbed it down. Our culture has watered it down of what a Christian looks like. And yet I always go back to, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about a Christ follower? What does the Bible show us very clearly that a Christ follower is, that a Christ follower does, that how a Christ follower lives? What does the Bible say? What happened to thus saith the Lord? Like, what happened to that? Where did we lose that? Who came up with the idea that, you know what, let's just go ahead and let's like parts of the Bible and we'll take this portion and that portion, but we don't really like that part because it's offensive. And as what's often said in our culture today, it's not winsome enough because we might offend somebody. Wouldn't you rather offend someone with the truth of God's word than watch them go to a godless hell? Like, wouldn't you love to see those people in your lives today? It could be a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a granddaughter, a grandson, maybe all the above, that the reality is they're walking in darkness. And wouldn't you just love to see them start walking in the light? Wouldn't you love to see that? I know I would. And so I pray today, as we see from God's word, that we can all leave here today going, yep, I'm definitely a Christian. And I pray if you leave here today, if you're listening right now, that if you leave going, wait a minute, I don't think I am, I'm not sure I am, oh, I pray you get that settled immediately. And so what does God's word say? Well, let's look in our Bibles in front of us. I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 1. And then jump right into 9 and 11 for context. And so here's what the Bible says. Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. That's a great verse, isn't it? In other words, you're not under the law anymore. You're now under grace. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit, capital S of life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. How? by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So those who were rescued, those who are rescued, if you're a true believer in Christ, you have been bought with a price. And make a note of this, that freedom is never free. I mean, freedom costs something. Like we talk about that in the military, that's a true statement. For those that have went before us and fought for our freedom in this country, there are many that paid the ultimate price so that you and I could be sitting right now in this room, regardless of if it's raining or not. We could be here today. Like they paid the price. They went on a battlefield and died so that I could stand here and herald God's word. They went and died so that you could get in your car and come to this place today. They died so that you on the radio listening right now could go, I have freedom in Christ, and I have freedom to listen on the radio to the word of God being proclaimed. That freedom was not free. It cost somebody their life. And you take that to the spiritual component that Jesus Christ, if you are a true believer in him, it cost him his life. That he shed and he bled and he died. And he stood in your stead and my stead. He died the death I should have died. He died the death you should have died to free you from the clutches and the claws and the talons and the grip of Satan and his dominion of darkness. He has set you free. Freedom's never free, it's costly. And that's why in verse 4 of Romans 8, in order, the why, that the righteous, those are that have been made right with who? Right with God. The requirement, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk, who live, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, capital S, holy. Verse 5, Romans 8. For those who live or walk according to the flesh, they set, they fix, they rivet, they submit to, they're controlled by, they're bent towards what? Their minds on the things of the flesh. However, but those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, are bent, they're fixed, they're riveted, they're submitting to, they're controlled by in their minds the things of the Holy Spirit. Then he explains in verse 6. He says, for to set the mind on the flesh is what? Is death. Physically, perhaps. Yeah, physically, perhaps. But spiritually, 100%. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life. We have life with God, life in God. And peace. We get a double bonus there. We have peace with God because why? Christ stood in our stead and he brought us together. We have right standing. And so now we have the peace of God because we have peace with God. You got the peace of God because you have now been made right with God and have peace with him. God is no longer going to war against you who have given your life to Christ. Now, verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile, is at war with God. For it does not submit, it resists, it rebels to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It's not an option to these folks because, well, they're in corruption. They're in darkness. Those who are in the flesh cannot, impossible, please who? God. I mean, verse 8 in your Bible is crystal clear. I mean, if you're under the control and the sway of the flesh, how can you be under the control and sway of God? It's impossible to be under the sway and control of two masters. Can't happen. People are trying it. They try it all day long. They live for Satan all week long, and they plop in a pew on Sunday and say, praise Jesus. Like it's just utter insanity. They're only fooling themselves. That's why, verse 9, this is so good. Paul says what, verse 9? What's that first word? You. Hey, you. I picture that poster at the post office, you know. It's got the guy pointing the finger. You. You. All right. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. Lastly, verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So two sections here, verse 9, and then we'll look at 10 and 11. So let's hunker down for a moment on verse 9. In your notes, it says this, you. So who's you? Think about this for a moment. I'm asking rhetorically because who's you? Well, think about if you look in your Bible, verse 5, it said those in the ESV. And now all of a sudden he says you. Very interesting. He goes from those to you. Well, he's talking here to true believers. You. You, he says. He says, you, look, you. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're not bent towards the flesh. You are not giving in to the flesh. Does it ever happen? Of course it does. He's referring to a habitual pattern where there's constant just giving in to the flesh. We all have moments where we do something. We say something. We think something. And prayerfully we'll go, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for that healthy conviction in my life. I was in the flesh in that moment. And boy, I spoke in a way that was not godly. I spoke in anger. I spoke in frustration. I spoke in impatience. Maybe you and I spoke on all the above in one sitting. It was a rough one. Like the flesh was just, wow. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like 107, you know? I mean, it was just wow. Yeah, been there. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're not bent towards it. Again, you're not under that sway. I love that word. Write that down somewhere in your notes. S-W-A-Y, sway. That sway is just, it's that pulling. It's that allure. It's that, the only way I can describe it is just like sinking the teeth into and just very, very intentionally and very, very systematically just pulling and luring away. That sway. You're not in the flesh. Does the flesh still do things to the true believer? Yes, and we're going to explain that here in just a moment. But it's so important. This is so critical. This verse 9 in your Bible, if someone ever asks you, how do I know I'm a true Christian? You should immediately take them to Romans 8, 9. And if you can count in order, that's an amazing address. Amen? Because you count 7, 8, and then what's next? 9, right? That's not a hard one to remember. Romans 8, verse 9 is your go-to regarding is this person, am I really a Christian? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, hold your horses. We're going to get there. But the first point is you're not in the flesh, perpetually, habitually, under the control of, under the sway of. You're no longer hostile towards God. That's a great reminder. So would you bring up the things of God to people? Is there a soft, tender response? Is there an interest? Is there a longing to be receptive? Or do you see the fiery darts coming out of their eyeballs? You know what I'm talking about, even to the tire shop, right? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're talking to whoever, wherever you are, and you're just floating things out there about the Lord. And is there a softness? Is there a warmth there that they long for those things? Or are they shutting it down? Are they changing the subject? Boy, when they change the subject, they shut it down. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign of longing for the things of God. You will long for the things of God. You won't be hostile. You won't shake a fist at. You won't rebel. Even in the midst of besetting sins that we all deal with, There will be moments there perpetually, habitually, that we long to repent, that we long to conform to the image of Christ, that we long to be in His presence, that do you get the picture of this longing? Like we're longing, where we set our affections. If we set our affections on the things of Christ, we read that in Colossians 3 last week, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Why? For you have died and you are now hidden with Christ. Like you're hidden with Him. He purchased you by His blood. And so therefore, because you are now hidden with Christ, you are one of His. He owns you. You've been sealed for the day of redemption. It doesn't mean that's a license to sin. It actually means this, that when you are sealed for the day of redemption, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives within you. And because He lives within you and indwells you, here's what happens. You long for the things of the Holy Spirit. You long for righteousness. You long for holiness. You long for right living. You long for this. And for people who play the game all week long, living for self, living for Satan, living for sin, and again, somehow they plunk down in a pew on a Sunday and talk about how great Jesus is, they're only fooling themselves. That's a person who is torn between two masters. And when you ride the fence, you got to remember that Satan owns the fence. We want to be these people here that he's referring to in Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh. You're not in it. But you're in what? What does it say next? But you're in the Spirit. You're under the sway of. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Everything that we just talked about in a negative way, now turn towards a positive. You're fixed on. You're riveted on. You love. You think on. I mean, how about this question here? Here's a great question. Ready for this one? What do you think about when you have nothing to think about? Ooh. Oh boy. What do you think about when you have nothing? I'm talking nothing. N-U-T-T-O-N. Nothing to think about. Because what you think about when you got nothing to think about is actually where your affections are. Because if we're just listening to noise all week long and thinking about all the noise all week long, it's easy to be dominated by the noise. But when there is a calmness and there's some margin in our life and we begin to be still and begin to listen, what do we start thinking about? Do you go, you know what, I just want to be in the presence of God as I open His living, breathing Word. Oh, I can't wait to be in the fellowship. Yeah, I know there's rain in the forecast, but praise God for rain. Praise God that Jesus, when He was going to the cross, didn't say, I'll go do this as long as it's not raining. Just insanity, isn't it, where we are? Total insanity. Do I long? Do you long? That's my question. Do you long? Do you long for Jesus? Do you long for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to be a casual Christian? That's the wide path going to destruction is what that is. That road, that path is full of people. Just casual. It's a contradiction in terms, by the way. Casual Christian, prideful Christian. Those are contradictions in terms. Look up Revelation 3 for the casual, for sure. Church in Laodicea. The Bible is full of what the talks about being prideful. So we want to be those people that we belong to the Holy Spirit. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, is what it says. Let me read that one more time, that last section in your Bible in front of you. Look at this. Romans 8, verse 9. I'll just read the whole thing. You, Christian, however, not in the flesh, not bent towards it, not under control, not under the sway of, but you're in the Spirit. You are under the control, the sway of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Oh boy, there's a caveat. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Make a note of this. When it says right here in your Bible in front of you, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, it literally means this in the Greek. it means that the Holy Spirit is going to take up residence inside. Now picture the Holy Spirit, you know, he shows up at your door one day and he knocks on the door and he saw that there was a vacancy sign. Sometimes we think there's a vacancy sign between our ears. Amen. I get that one. I get that one a lot. Room for rent between our ears. Yeah, I get that. But no, he sets up shop. He purchases the title deed to our home, our life. And what will happen is Satan, he won't ring your doorbell one day and go, ding dong. Anyone have a doorbell that sounds like that? Ding dong. Satan's not going to go, ding dong, I'm here. Oh no. He'll look for every crack in a window, every door that's slightly ajar, just to slither in quietly, undetected. And yet the Holy Spirit, he busts in. He barges in. He takes over. He says, I'm going to purchase you through the blood of Christ, and I'm going to own you and take up residence in your life. Paul says, this is you, Christian. You're no longer in the flesh, submitting to the flesh, bowing the knee to the flesh. You are bowing the knee to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. So you can't bow the knee to two. You can only bow the knee to one. You can try, but it will never happen because your allegiances will be divided. We say, I pledge allegiance to the flag, and that's a good thing. How about we pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ? How about we start doing that? I pledge allegiance to you, Jesus. There's no other. There's no other. Only you. It's only you, Christ. It's only you. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, makes himself at home would be another rendering of that Greek. If the Holy Spirit makes himself at home, he's the new owner, this is proof that you are a true Christian. However, anyone who does not, the opposite, have the Spirit of Christ, does not belong to him. This is powerful. Romans 8, 9. Never forget this verse. This is your go-to verse right here. I was around some people recently and they were attesting to that they were Christ followers, but quickly into the conversation, it was very clear that at best they were just confused. You will know if you really belong to Christ because your affections will change. You've been made new. You no longer have these earthly desires and lusts. And lust simply is not necessarily sexual. It's this unbridled desire, these unbridled desire for the things of the world. Uncontrollable desires. You won't have those anymore. Not that you won't be tempted, but you will have new affections. You will have that new heart. Remember we talked about it last week where God puts us on the operating table spiritually and doesn't go, hey, we're not doing a bypass. No, well, we're actually doing a heart transplant. We're going to get out this heart of stone, get that thing out of there, rip that thing out of there. Throw that thing as far as the east is to the west and put in a heart of flesh. That's what God does through Jesus. And so if you're in conversation with someone, if you know someone, if you're living with someone who their affections are not on the things of God, you can go and get baptized every day of the week. You can go to church every day of the week. You can be a pastor. You can be a deacon. You can do anything and everything externally, but if your affections are not bent towards the things of God, you are not a Christian, period. Period. You say, that sounds harsh. Well, I get it. In this endeavor, in this insane culture we live in, to be winsome and not offend anyone, it's high time we start telling people the truth. That's just the bottom line. I mean, I'm not going to stand back and watch people go to hell. If they're clearly walking in something that's not of the Lord, I need to speak up. You need to speak up. We do it lovingly, of course. But just to give a free pass and, hey, God's a God of mercy and grace. Yeah, He is for those who give their lives to Him. But He's not for those who rebel and reject. That's why key number one, write this down in your notes. Key number one, as we see here in Romans 8 and 9, a defining mark of belonging to Christ and being born again is that the person will have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of them and controlling their lives. Let me read that again. As we see here in Romans 8 and 9, a defining mark, this is right from Romans 8 and 9, of belonging, being owned by Christ, and being born again, new nature, new life, is that the person will have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of them and controlling their lives. Now, let me make a note here. When Paul is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling, he's not talking about, you know, flipping out, running around the room, acting like you've lost your mind. He's referring to very clearly that you are under the control and sway of the Holy Spirit, and we know this from Scripture. And you got to remember, the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. So if you want to take one verse, go find a bunch of other verses that undergird it and support it, and that's where you get your best understanding of the precepts, the rules, the laws, the guiding principles of God's Word. When you don't just cherry pick a verse and go, oh, I like that one, that fits my narrative. No, we take the verse and we find a bunch of other verses that support what that verse says, and now we really understand what the verse says. And we don't get led off into error. And so when you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, we know this, that God is a God of order. The Bible says that. And so we walk under the Holy Spirit's power, but it's not some of this heresy being taught where you just lose your ever-loving mind and somehow you're filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled with the Spirit is to walk in God as He leads. I don't know if you noticed this, by the way. There was a Trinitarian reference in these verses. You know what Trinitarian means? Trinity, three. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, okay? So if you look here in your Bible, I don't know if you noticed this, but it talked about right there, it talked about the Spirit, holy, the Spirit of God, number two, and the Spirit of Christ, right there. This is an action-packed verse. Like, this shows, am I really a Christian? Is that person really a Christian? It also shows the Trinity right here. Right there it is. The Trinity is right here in this verse. Powerful. Powerful. So, write down these verses here that I think will help us. Galatians chapter 5. It's the go-to. I've read this before recently, but I had to bring it up again. It's the go-to on the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And this is what the Word says, Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Listen closely, and this will show again, am I really, are you really a Christian? But I say, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, walk, live by the Spirit, capital S, holy, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Pause, right there, pause. Galatians 5, 16 should be another go-to verse. You're struggling with impatience, you're struggling with anger, you're struggling with thoughts that aren't good. Fill in the blank, addiction, whatever. Just fill in the blank, whatever. You go, I need help. How do I conquer this? Galatians 5:16. Let me read it again. I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There it is. What could we then say with the temptation of losing our temper, being impatient, fill in the blank? What do I need to do? What do you need to do if we no longer want to give in and give that power to the flesh? We need to walk in who? The Holy Spirit. There it is. That's it. I mean, that's it. It's like, well, isn't it more complicated? No, that's it. But here is the key, though. How do you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask a better question. Who walks in the power of the Holy Spirit? Who? Good, but who? Like, who? It's, yeah. What does he say there in verse 8, 9, chapter 8, 9? What's the very first word he uses? Three letters, starts with a Y, ends with a U, and has an O in the middle. You, right? You. You. Yeah. Who's you? Christians. Again, make this so simple. It is impossible. Ready for this? Unregenerate, big word, right? Unregenerate, remember what we talked about it? Unregenerate, it means that you are not saved, not rescued. You're unregenerate. It is impossible for someone who is unregenerate to walk in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit indwells who? The true Christian believer. Makes sense? Not overly complicated, but we got to get some theology going here, because otherwise we're just giving passes to anything and everything, right? Just anything and everything. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're living for sin and Satan and self all week long, but you're good. Glad you're here today. Great song. Praise Jesus. I'm going to stand on one foot and say the Pledge of Allegiance and bounce on a pogo stick, and I'm going to heaven. What in the world? Have we lost our minds? I mean, it's absolute insanity what's going on spiritually. People being fed so many lies. And yet right here, it's so clear. Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, which means you have to be a true believer, you want to know how you're going to overcome the flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify it. Every time you walk in the flesh, you and I, at least in that moment, have said, Holy Spirit, why don't you go in your corner? Why don't you go in your corner? Why don't you go take a seat over here for a minute? I got some stuff I got to go do. Just go sit over here for a minute. See, I'm not walking in him. I'm actually rebelling against him, and therefore my flesh is going, woo-hoo, right? Pom-pom time for the flesh, right? Pom-poms. But we must not do that. Why? 17 of Galatians 5, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Oh, there it is. The desires of the flesh are against, they're going to war against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other. Why? To keep you from doing the things you want to do. There it is. That's it. So every time I and you, we sin, we have at that point said, Holy Spirit, take a time out, and you know what? I'm going to go live how I want to live.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
I encourage you to read the remaining part of Galatians 5, 16 through 26, but I am going to jump down here for just a moment because I want to read one section in 24 through 26, and I'll let you read 18 through 23 later about the fruit of the Spirit, those nine characteristics. But look at here for just a moment. Listen to this. In 24, Galatians 5, it says, and those who belong to Christ. Okay, have we heard this from Romans 8? Let me go back to Romans 8, verse 9. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not, help me, belong to him. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ. Oh, that's good, isn't it? This is a perfect example of how Scripture is the best commentary in Scripture. Like, I just gave you an example. Romans 8, 9, Galatians 5, 24. Sync them together. And those who do, those who belong to Christ, Christ owns you, have crucified, put to death the passions, the flesh, and its desires. So those affections, it doesn't mean that we won't struggle. It doesn't mean that once you give your life to Christ, you'll never be impatient again. But it does mean this, that you are now on high alert because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And remember, he's got that warning system. Remember we talked about that? Bah, bah. Whoop, 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 whoop. Whatever that siren sounds like in your life. When I do and you do, we walk down that path where Holy Spirit, take a time out. I got business to take care of. And all of a sudden, that Holy Spirit goes, rank, rank, Don't do that. Bridge out. Don't go down there. That's that warning that we must listen to and not rebel against. That's so important. The Bible says that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And it dawned on me that if the Bible says in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, what's the joy meter on outside the presence of God? In the fullness of joys in the presence of God, what does joy look like outside the presence of God? And I think we know the answer. That's why we must 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. It says this, Paul says to the church in Corinth now. We're in Romans 8, Galatians 5. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 13, 5. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Let me read this one more time. This is one of those verses that gets glossed over, gets ignored. Let me read this very clearly. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourself. Now, it's really easy to examine everybody else. Amen. Like, we got PhDs in those, don't we? Like, we get our little microscopes out, and we get our magnifying glasses out and our tweezers, and we're just getting specks out of everyone else's eyes. Well, we got forest and logs growing out of our own, don't we? That's just human nature. Well, I'm going to go inspect them. No, that's not what this verse says. It says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you unless, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. We must constantly be examining ourselves. What are our motives? Like, why am I desiring this, my affection? Do I have motives that are not of the Lord? On and on we could go. And lastly, Hebrews 2:1. Write this down, Hebrews 2:1. We've been all over. Romans 8, 9, Galatians 5, 2 Corinthians 13, and finally Hebrews 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. The Bible says we must pay closer attention. It literally means to dial in close proximity. So when you hear the word of God proclaimed and heralded, when you are in your Bible and living in your Bible and mining the scripture each and every day, and God's word is coming off the page because it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, here's what I and you need to be doing. We need to go, wait a minute, I need to pay even closer attention to this. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to drift. And drifting, by the way, isn't referring to getting swept away by the rapids. It's referring to a slow drift, a slow fade, just over time. I can remember being in Florida all those years, and we go to the beach, and as we're in the beach, and we're at the beach, and you know, you'd often get a raft, and you take a raft, and you go out there in the water, and oh, it's just glorious. You know, the sun is shining, and it's sparkling off the seashells and the sand, and you know, it's extremely hot, though. That was the one thing about Florida. They had two seasons, hot and hotter. And it was just hot. I mean, it was just hot. I mean, it was hot with like nine O's, you know, just hot. I mean, it was just you know, sticky, you know, humid. I mean, it was, But it was great to go to the beach, and we'd go, and you get on that raft out there. And what was so crazy is as you were laying on the raft and just enjoying and maybe dozing off and falling asleep, what would happen is over time, over even just minutes, you would look up and you would go, wait a minute, where are my belongings on the shore? It hadn't been that long, and I'm just out here floating. And what you begin to realize is as you were floating very slowly, you began to drift very slowly. And you didn't even know you were drifting. Didn't even know it. Like you had no idea. You'd look up and go, wow, I need a Hubble telescope. Is that my bag? Look how far it is over there. And there are people today, spiritually, they're out on their little rafts enjoying life. just floating along. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. I mean, I love myself. I love my sin. And I actually like Satan, but go, Jesus. And what happens is they're just floating along in life, and they have no idea, as they've been in cruise control and neutral, which means you're actually in reverse spiritually, that they look on the seashore. They need a Hubble telescope to go, where's Jesus? Where is he? He was just over there. But that's what happens. We begin to drift. And we rationalize, and we justify, and we deny, and we talk ourselves into, we make excuses. And before we know it, our relationship with Christ is no longer walking, abiding, walking in tandem with, but he's just at a distance. But when we get in a jam, our prayer life increases, doesn't it? It's amazing how when we get in a jam, Lord, I need you. It's like, wouldn't that be amazing if when you're walking side by side to the Lord in close fellowship, that you and I would be like, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord. I know you're right here, but I need you, Lord. I just need you. I just need you. I can't breathe without you, Lord. See, those are the folks that turn the world upside down for God's glory. You know why, don't you? Because when the world looks at those people, the world goes, I don't know what you got, but I know I want what you have, because they see it's real. They see it really is a fight and not a fashion show spiritually. And we got way too many people across the earth today that are just spiritually up and down a runway on a fashion show. And God's like, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. It's not that I don't know you now. I've never known you. Am I, are you, are we really Christians? Do we belong to Christ? Does he own us? Does he govern our schedules? When you look at your calendar, can you go, oh yeah, Jesus is leading me here and here and here? Or do you go, ooh, man, I've been leading myself the past month. Do we open our checkbooks and go, yeah, Jesus owns me. He owns me. Or do we go, oh, yikes, yeah, I guess I kind of own myself in that department too. Our talents, our abilities, are we using those for God's glory to make much of him, to advance the gospel, or are we just pleasing the flesh? Well, lastly, here's our last two verses. And what's so cool about once we answer verse 9, I got great news for you. I got great news. I love giving great news. Great news, good news can only be great and good if there's bad news, amen? Otherwise, it's just news. Now, I got great news for those that are in Christ. Listen to what chapter 8, 10 through 11 say of Romans. Here's what it says in our Bibles in front of us, closely. It says this, so good. But, however, if Christ or since, that word if is better translated since, but if, since Christ is in you, he owns you, although the body is dead because of sin, thanks Adam and Eve, appreciate it, the spirit is life because of what? Because of righteousness. Who made us righteous? Any idea? Any idea who made us? Jesus, good. He brought us to who? He brought us to God. He made us right with God, good, excellent, okay. The earthly body's just a shell, it's just a tent. It's failing us. Here's the reality. Every person in this room is dying. Every person in this room is dying. From the youngest to the oldest, we are all dying. Every second, tick tock, tick tock. Again, that's the new tick tock. Tick tock, tick tock. Goes off the clock. We are one step closer. Everyone's dying. We're all dying. It's part of the bodies of death. You'll never get back the last hour. Never get it back. And that's why we want to live for Christ. You want to make it your aim. I want to make it my aim, as Paul said, to be well-pleasing to him. We want to be those people that say, you know what? We're going to live for Christ. We're going to make a difference. It's just too easy to float along with the crowd. Don't float along with the crowd. Any dead thing, as they often say, can go with the stream. Take something alive to go upstream. Don't just float along. Go against the stream. Be that one for Christ. Be the one that says, if none go with me, I'm still following you, Jesus. I'm still following you. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. Matter of fact, Oswald Chambers said, measure your growth in grace by your sensitiveness to sin. Isn't that good? Am I sensitive to sin? The more that we grow in grace, the more sensitive we'll be. The more we walk in the Spirit, the more sensitive we'll be. The Bible says that for those that are not walking with Christ, and maybe you're thinking of someone right now in your life, again, coworker, neighbor, husband, wife, whoever, son, daughter, you name it, niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter, the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians that the God of this age is blinding them spiritually. They're being blinded. The only way to be awakened is through the Holy Spirit getting in there and awakening them. Now, God uses us in that process as we're the hands and feet, and we go evangelize and we share the gospel and we invite people. We're part of that process, but I can't save anyone, let alone myself. God is the one that gets in there and does the redemptive, redeeming work. Now, here's the great news. We're in these bodies of death. We just read it. But I got great news, because look at the final part of this section here in Romans 8, 10 through 11. Because if you're a true believer, I got great news for your body. Look at verse 11. If the Spirit of Him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, takes up residence, makes Himself a home in you, He, God the Father, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, oh, I love this, here it goes, ready? Buckle up, put your seatbelt on, will also give life to your mortal bodies. Wow. Through His Spirit who dwells in you. Do you understand this? Here it is. This is very simple. That if you truly are a Christian from Romans 8 and 9, and how do you know that? Well, He'll belong to you and you'll belong to Him and you'll bear fruit worthy of repentance. Your new nature is changed. Your affections will change. You will be a different person. It'll be clear. Like, it will be clear. And you won't need to tell anybody because they'll just see it. You won't need to go advertise it on social media. People will just see it. Like, you'll be different. That's what happens. You're going to be different. Your affections, your longings will be towards Christ, period. Here's the great news. If that's you, this body you're in, like right now, touch your hand, you know, touch your head. Come on, help me. Somebody do this. I feel awkward up here. Touch your spouse. There you go. You're touching, right? This body, this is a body of death. I got great news for you. You're getting a new body. Like, if you had one amen in yet, that would have time to use her. Right? I mean, seriously, like, you're getting a new body. You say, how do you know that? The Bible tells us right there. Like, this broken body, as we're all dying, the older we get, what happens? The body begins to break down. It's part of sin. That was part of the curse. Part of the curse in the garden was this, that the body would die. We were meant to live forever in fellowship with God in the garden, yet it got messed up. And the reality is this, we're all dying and the body is going to die. Here is the raw reality. If you are a saved, regenerate person, you're getting a new body. And you'll spend eternity in heaven with God. The new heaven and the new earth, by the way, read Revelation, the new heaven and the new earth. Very clear. Here's the raw reality. If you are unregenerated, if you are unsaved, if you are shaking a fist at God and rebelling against Him, you are not going to get a new glorified body. You are going to spend all of your days forever and ever in the lake of fire. Everyone who dies doesn't just end up in the Disneyland in the sky. If that's true, then what's the whole point of the Bible? If that's true, what's the point of Jesus dying and being buried and rising on the third day? If that's true, then what's the point in any of that? That's why we're so passionate for what we do. Eternal souls are at stake. Like, again, this is a fight, not a fashion show. We are serious about the Word of God at Redeemer Bible Fellowship. We are serious. If you're looking for a country club, I can give you a list of them. I'm talking a list. Well, they will not only welcome you with a smile, they will endorse your sin, look away from your sin, enable your sin, and encourage you in your sin. All while having a steeple and a church sign. They're all over the place. They're everywhere. We're all going to give an account, and we want to be people that live for the Lord. Amen. And even as it rains at this very moment, may the Holy Spirit rain down on this place. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
May He just rain down on this place. We got umbrellas. We got paper towels. You'll be fine. Don't you love the Word of God?
Yes.
I love key number two, and I'm glad you do too. And here's what it says. As we see here in Romans 8:10-11, when we belong to Christ, our mortal bodies will be redeemed by the power of the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of our new, immortal, and glorified bodies. Amen. Key number two, as we see here in Romans 8:10-11, right here it is. When we belong to Christ, that you are a true Christian, I'm a true Christian, our mortal, fleshly, dying bodies will be redeemed by the power of the Holy Spirit in the resurrection of our new, immortal, and glorified bodies. Now, I'm going to give you just a few verses and we'll close. I'm going to give you these from 1 Corinthians. I want you to write down somewhere in your notes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just write that down, because this is a go-to chapter regarding the resurrection of your body. If you want to know today, someone asks and they say, hey, I need a chapter on the resurrection of my body because I'm a Christian. You say, hey, I got great news. 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read you several verses here. The first one I'm going to start off with is 1 Corinthians 15:17-19. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15:17-19, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. Very true, amen? If Jesus is still in the grave, our faith doesn't mean anything, does it? Because He's dead. And you are still in your sins. Wow. Then those also who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have also perished. However, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So in other words, if our hope, which so many people are living for in just this life, that's their hope. They are living for the weekend. They're living for the paycheck. They're living for the party. They're living for whatever in the next dream that they're having. And we know by now the American dream is not an American dream. It's a nightmare that will leave you wanting and longing for more and more and more. Right here, Paul says, if our hope is in this earthly life only, we are most to be pitied. Oh, pity us. He's saying that's a sorry place to be. But then he says in 1 Corinthians 15:30-34, he says, why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day for you, for the gospel. What do I gain if, humbly speaking, I fought with the beast at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Do not be tricked. Do not be hoodwinked, seduced, and baited. And then he says this phrase. Out of nowhere, he brings this in. Bad company corrupts. Bad company ruins good morals. Be careful who you hang around with. Be careful. Ooh, man, you hang around the garbage pit. Guess what you start smelling like? The garbage pit. Now be careful. There's people who, I love Jesus. Yeah, be careful. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, and it's high time we get the wolves out of the church, amen? Bad company corrupts good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, physically perhaps, spiritually for sure, as it is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. There are people out there, he's saying in 15 there of Corinthians, that, hey, you know what? Man, we're just going to live for the party. Okay, but what about the true believers, though? Oh, here it is. Hang on. Here it is, right here. You ready? Is everyone ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Ooh, louder. Say, if I'm ready, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
There we go. I'm ready. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Here it is for the true believer. If you're a true believer, this is your promise. 15:53-58. Listen to what it says. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body, this death of body, must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Oh, wait a minute, church. Five of the most glorious words in all of Scripture, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, verse 58, my beloved brothers, I say this to you today. I say this to those who are on the radio right now. If you're a true Christian, therefore, my beloved brothers, be, this is a part of who you are in Christ. Be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing with confidence that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, amen.
Yes. Praise God.
That's it. That's it right there. For those that could answer, I'm truly a Christian in verse 9, your promise is in verse 10 and 11. You belong to Christ, and you're going to get a new body. The Bible says that when we become like Christ, we are glorified like Christ. Our bodies, no more pain, no more disease, no more suffering. And the one thing I'm looking the most forward to is no more sin in my body. No more. How do we move forward? Like, how do we leave here in just a moment and walk out of here and somehow take all this in and go live it? Well, I think there's an old hymn of the faith that answers that question. And here's what the words say. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. And when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, His righteousness alone. What happens? I'm faultless to stand before the throne, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. That's how we conquer as we move forward. Amen. If our hope, if it's only in this earthly, we're all most to be pitied. What a sorry state. But because, not if, but because our hope's in Christ, and we will reign forever with Him in the new body, in the new heaven, in the new earth. Oh, we have so much to look forward to. Amen. All the pain, all the heartache, all the suffering will be worth it all when we stand face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, who is called the Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love You and we worship You. Thank You for this rich text from Romans 8, 9 through 11. Lord, I pray everyone here, I pray everyone listening has given their life to Christ. Father, I pray that each one, I just plead with You that they are bearing fruit worthy of repentance. Lord, I ask that through their lives of total surrender to You, God, I pray that You would use them in such a supernatural way as Your Holy Spirit lives inside of them to make much of You and Your glory, and that many people would run to the cross of Jesus Christ because of their life and their witness. And so, Father, I pray as we rest on the fact that it's Christ we stand on and all other ground is sinking sand. As we go live this life this week, may You find us faithful. May You find us obedient. May you find us longing with affections that are set on you. And when we have nothing to think about, may our mind immediately go to the things of Christ, who consumes us, who owns us as the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our hearts. Oh God, to you be the praise and to you be the glory. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.